Third hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe Rex Road, and I'm bringing in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley. Very excited to bring in our next guest, as we do every Wednesday at 8 a.m., Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com, Outkick 360. PK, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Look at you driving the car, and it sounded natural.
Yes, I'm working on my voice, you know, the hosting voice.
That's Friday.
There you go. I've also worked on my Paul Kaharsky voice, but I don't know. It sounds kind of like Jerky Boys.
I was going to say, are you doing Joe Pesci right now?
And that's not even a good Joe Pesci.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. All right, so your excitement level, Paul. I mean, I think about you having covered, the NFL going back to the 90s, and preseason games not even that long ago being so much more interesting than they are now. So what is your interest level for this particular opener for the Titans? And also, how does it compare to, like, let's just go like 10 years ago, preseason games versus now?
My excitement level for this game is a 1.5. and my excitement level 10 years ago was a 3.5.
Okay.
Biggest ripoff in sports, yada yada, for the fans, so I always feel bad for that. And I actually wrote a column on Outkick this week, just about I just can't stand that people tend not to differentiate. Football is back, and Mike Tirico says that those are the first points of the NFL season. And Mike Lombardi tweets, there's nothing better than football on a TV screen. And a lot of people just talk about it like things have restarted. And they failed to mention in the opener that Trevor Lawrence, and I can't even remember who played, Derek Carr are wearing jerseys on the sidelines without pads under them, and that we're not seeing legitimate people, and that the trend now is that starters don't play at all for some teams. The Chargers and the Rams won't play them at all. I understand you want to see the rookies and all of that, but then nobody puts into context that you're seeing the rookies against second stringers. So Malik Willis will do some good things at some time, and we'll get all in awe of it, and there will be no ability to say, whoa, who did he do it against? And how vanilla was the defense that he did it against? And Julius Chestnut will have a big run in the fourth quarter, and people will be like, oh, my God, we found Derrick Henry's successor. And there will be no calming them down.
Yeah, well, so I used to think along those lines still, like what you mentioned with Tirico and those guys a few years ago, just because, no, of course, it's a little taste, but we did at least get to see first teams, ones against ones for, a few series. We used to see ones against ones for a half in the third game. Like, it was worth checking out. And now it's just gone completely the other way. But that said, Paul, this game, I do think there, like you mentioned Malik Willis. I mean, I still think it's interesting just to see what he does in a game setting, what he does, just seeing his skills in an actual tackle football game, as opposed to even full pads here, as they blow the whistle once the pocket's broken. Like, I still think that there's some value in how he responds to this situation, how he performs in a semi-game setting. Maybe you don't agree, but I think there's something to it. Who else though? Like, what else do you think? Do you think we're going to see, like, Treylon Burks get some work, Caleb Farley get some work, some sort of clarity on Raidens versus Petit Frere, or anything else that we can actually take away tomorrow night?
Maybe right tackle. Those other spots, I mean, we can't project whether we're going to find out anything about that because Vrabel, and I think reasonably, has decided as a head coach out of his playing days that telling guys ahead of time whether they're playing or not is not beneficial. That they, let down and don't prepare the same way if they know they're not playing. And so he doesn't tell them and he doesn't tell us. So we can't know. I would think for sure Raidens and Petit Frere are going to play. And I think we'll we'll see some stuff there. I think there's certainly meaning to the fact that Nicholas has, three padded practices in, got in front of Raidens while nothing has happened at left guard. And I'm not a Raidens guy, and you and I were together watching Petit Frere on that first day, and he was a jolt of energy to that line in that first two-minute drill, which I thought was substantial, and he's been solid since. So I think that will begin to sort itself out. That's certainly one to watch. Somebody like Terry Godwin is important to watch, a guy that we haven't talked about much, to see if, you know, that second group of receivers is really bad. Can he tack himself on there above Dez Fitzpatrick? We haven't talked about him much, but he's got some NFL experience. Certainly there are things scattered throughout. My bigger thing, I don't have a problem with people watching their own team for things like we're talking about here. But to tune into a national game with enthusiasm in the preseason, to me, give me the remote control.
Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com and Outkick 360 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Paul, let's dive a little bit deeper into the offensive line, because Joe and I have talked a lot about that over the past couple of days. You've mentioned it in your previous answer. But, you know, generally speaking, what is your concern level with the makeup of the offensive line, and what, in terms of the Titans fan base, you know, where should their concern level be with where this offensive line might be on opening day?
Well, those are the two big ones, offensive line and receiver. It's very easy in these first 2 weeks to kind of let yourself be put at ease by good reports about both, but there's no context for them except going against their own guys, and everybody tends to look good in those first 2 weeks if everybody's healthy, and injuries haven't been a problem at those two positions. I'm sure Joe's mentioned, you know, you wonder now if Petit Frere, you know, grabs a hold of that right tackle job. Does Raidens become an option at left guard? They're really high on Brewer, I think. They like him a lot. My worry for Brewer, you know, and I understand that how a smaller guy can work in there, I just worry about him over time. A guy like that is going to wear down inevitably, I think. And, what are you going to get out of him? If he's your starting left guard, what are you going to get out of him in November and December after he's beaten on game by game at that size and worn down? And you've got an undersized center. A lot of teams do. But when he's playing in tandem with Ben Jones, and Taylor Lewan's the only big guy on that whole left side, that concerns me a little bit. You know, so if Dylan Raidens is in fact one of your best five, which I don't believe he'll wind up being, I would imagine he does get a look at left guard in some way, shape, or form, probably on the second team to start. Jamarco Jones hasn't made much noise at all, and so I don't know if we're even going to see him in the position that we were told he was going to be in terms of the guy competing for those jobs, and maybe the competition, at least the one we were told to look for, fizzles, which is often the case with preseason competitions that we're told about. And another main thing is then you want Lewan and Jones and Nate Davis to remain healthy, and so far indications have been good there. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, the best line that we've seen during the Derrick Henry era, no matter who's in these places.
To your point, Paul, we tend to, are prone to exaggerating a bit what we see in practices when teammates are practicing against each other. But I would be curious for your opinion if you have seen anything different about the way that Ryan Tannehill is conducting himself on the field with his teammates. I've seen your reports and other reports about him being more demonstrative, perhaps, with some of his younger receivers during drills. I'd be curious if you see anything from Tannehill in practice that would suggest that perhaps he's making a change in terms of his attitude.
I can't say for sure that it's different, Adam, because, you know, I've seen him do it before, and I can't. I don't have the great memory for exactly what he was doing before when I wasn't maybe looking as closely for it because he hadn't, you know, thrown three picks against Cincinnati in a playoff game that they had to win. But I do think that he is showing great leadership skills now. I didn't have any problem with his leadership before. I do think he's got a mastery of the offense, certainly, that's only gotten better the longer that he's been in it. He knows what he wants and where he wants people to be and all of the things that you would expect from a veteran quarterback. And I think the question for him, I expect this team to be a playoff caliber team. I don't know about the Colts. I know Joe's higher on the Colts than I am. I would take Tannehill over Ryan based on mobility and age, just by a little bit, based on scouts that I've talked to. But the Titans should be in the playoffs, I think, as a division winner, but certainly as a wild card. And so for me, the Tannehill question doesn't get answered until January. You can fast forward, presuming that they do what they're supposed to do in the regular season, and get him into a playoff game in January and restart. His recovery from Cincinnati really begins then. And can he be a prominent figure in a playoff win for this team? And even if he does it once, I mean, I think that would be cathartic for him, for the team, for the city. But if they're going to get where they really want to go, and I don't think they're a Super Bowl team this year, but you'd like to see them advance a couple of games, can Ryan Tannehill be a key figure in four playoff wins, given what else is in the AFC? I just don't see it.
Paul Kaharski, paulkaharski.com, Outkate 360. Thank you, my friend. You're gonna be at the game Thursday?
I am not. I am not a preseason traveler. My funds will go towards, as I say, real football.
It's gonna be a light crew, I would say. I'm not going either, so light crew. But yeah, hey, that's what this stuff is. We're more interested in the Bucs practices next week, right? I mean, it's just gonna be way more interesting.
Absolutely, and you know, maybe they play a few more guys in this game because it's the one game that's not preceded by two joint practices. So maybe there's a little hope there.
We shall see. Thanks, PK.
Good talking to you guys. Thanks,
Paul Kaharski, paulkaharski.com, Outkick 360. And when we come back, we're going to react to some of what Paul said and get into, again, those two positions that really are the talk going into camp and still the talk of the Titans on Robbie Rexer, 1025, 106 through the game. One oh 2.5 and 106.3 the game, bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Also, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Konezovic, intern Hanley. Just talked to Paul Garcia. One thing that I would argue with Paul, I didn't have time to throw it in his face, and sometimes, you know, it gets a little snippy. Although I feel like we've had some really, like, we've been too kind to each other lately on these segments. I feel like we need to, you know, we need to get into a little boomer, you know, gripe fest at some point. But see, context, I hear Paul on context in terms of who are you going against in practice? What does it mean? It's Titans against Titans, et cetera, et cetera. I would say, though, and of course there's overreaction, and I've been guilty of it, and I can recognize it, but it happens. And so I try to avoid it, but there is some level of it. I mean, you watch people play day after day, and you can get caught up in that. But I will say that context can also be provided by past performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, I feel very confident in saying that Racy McMath is a better receiver right now than he was a year ago. I mean, it's obvious. I don't think Paul would argue against that. I'm just saying, I think that just seeing a player just even running against air, 7-on-7, whatever it is, individuals, I'm seeing a player clearly get better at the skills of a particular position. You can see that. You know, if you were there every day last year, for the most part, you know, and same thing this year, sometimes you can see growth. Look, I can see pretty significant growth from Dylan Radins from last year to this year, right? So now, as I ask you this, because I know that you just are constantly mesmerized by the absolute nitpicking and drilling down on practice that we do when we talk about an NFL team as compared to really like anything else. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like there's value in that? And do you feel like there is a lot of overreacting happening with the Titans right now?
I don't know if there's overreacting happening with the Titans. I think in general, the thing about football practice as it, you know, as compared to other teams' training camps, you know, is that you do see a lot more. I mean, well, that's not necessarily true because you can't report everything, and there are times where you can't watch practice, which you can in other sports. But in terms of, you know, seeing who's playing with who and goal line drills and 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s, you know, there's a lot more that you can sink your teeth into in terms of analyzing a team's chances once the season starts. So I do find it interesting watching from afar, you know, the type of updates you get from an NFL practice as you were reading your copious chicken scratch notes over the past couple of days talking about.
I miss them today.
Yeah, I did not notice the legal pad, of course, but the, you know, talking about someone's, you know, Ryan Tannehill with a nice, you know, with a nice pass to Racy McMath, broken up by, you know, Roger McCreary, whatever. Like it is interesting to see from afar, but anyway.
Yeah, like imagine like you know at a hockey preseason, like getting into like really good, I guess you know really nice pass on the power play, you know, but a blocked shot from Trennan, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it is a lot different. But then again, is there overreaction? I mean, there's this time of year is rife with overreaction, just because, as Paul was talking about, you know, the fact that we get excited about watching a preseason game where none of the players of note are playing, you know, specifically the Hall of Fame game, which is the first game of the game, quote unquote, of the NFL season. So yeah, there's always going to be overreaction. You know, has there been any overreaction that stood out to me from Titans camp? Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's probably par for the course. Guy, you know, there's always that younger.
You don't think Jared's been overreacting?
Well, that's just his nature. So I guess when you put it that way, there has been some overreaction. But, like, there hasn't been anything that I have heard or read that makes me think, whoa, now, let's pump the brakes on this a little bit. I mean, but you are more entrenched in it than I am. So would you agree with that? Has there been something that you've felt like we've overreacted to in the first couple of weeks of Titans camp?
Well, I think the Tannehill thing, I mean, the discussion, you asked it, we've been talking about it, and I'm with Paul, and I think for the most part, it seems like most of the people who've been around are kind of on the same page. Like when he got after Kyle Phillips, that stood out. It was like, wow, I mean, he really got after him. He doesn't do that a ton, but I can't say that's not the first time he's yelled at a receiver, you know, for doing something wrong. You know, Jared, I know the way he talks about the team in the press conference, that's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting point, but honestly, I don't know how different that really is. I don't think that there's really more ownership necessarily from Tannehill or a different style, a different approach, anything like that. Has he enhanced it some? I don't know. Maybe, but I think for the most part, he's been I think maybe his leadership has been, I don't know if it's underrated, but it's maybe been a little bit overlooked in the past. Maybe just because I think there's a different kind of scrutiny on him now, right? How is he going to react to all this stuff? And the problem is, for me, he's doing everything I expected in camp. He's playing well. He's throwing the ball well. He's leading. He's been a leader. He isn't a fiery, always in your face guy, but he can do that. He has done it in the past. I don't think it's all that different. I think any sort of discussion about him, and obviously Jared and I have argued about that, is at this point, like, you want to see what's happening right now. So there's value in what's happening. And I think what you are seeing is that with some of his pass catchers, there's some good things developing, but I can't put much into this at all. I really can't with him. Like, right now, to me, I'm just much more interested in people we don't know about. And that's where, like, for example, where I argue with Kaharski, you know, McMath, some of these guys who have clearly gotten better, I think that's more interesting.
Yeah, I think when you look at training camp, I agree with you that, and I agree with what Paul said in the sense that we can psychoanalyze Ryan Tannehill as much as we want right now in the limited interactions that you have with him, because it's only once a week. But what we won't learn really anything, at least in my novice opinion, until the playoffs, because I think you and I and Paul said as well that this team is good enough to make the playoffs, and until Tannehill takes that first snap in that playoff game, you know, the journey from now until then will be interesting for sure.
Oh yes.
But we won't see if Tannehill has learned from his past until then. And so, yeah, so there is value. I mean, he's the quarterback. There's a lot of attention on the quarterback all the time. But I would agree with you in the sense that when I think about training camp, I think about, okay, who is that unheralded player that comes out of nowhere to make an impact? And you've mentioned many of them over the course of the past few days and even before then. And to me, that's what I want to know more about. And the rookies, of course. I mean, there's interest in Treylon Burks, because we know that he'll be an integral part of the offense. But I want to know about those other guys that we didn't know anything about when training camp started, or see how they develop over the course of a full season.
And like Paul said, look, there's going to be the Mason Kinsey situation. Like last year, Mason Kinsey making these huge catches in the preseason games, and some people think he's going to start. It's like, he's not going to make the team, guys. You know, he's on the practice squad. And there's going to be, yeah, like a running back. This happens. People shine in preseason games, and people make too much of it. But there are this does bring me to the idea of – I've got a question on Texan about the receiving situation. We'll get to that next. But also on what we should buy and sell so far in the things that are standing out at Titans camp. Next on Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, folks, we are your racing station. 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday, 1 p.m., for the Federated Auto Parts 400. Also, join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers. I love that. I love that title. As he talks to the drivers and gets you set for race weekend. NASCAR and 102.5 and 106.3 The Game presented to you by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back, Robbie and Rexrode. Joe Rexrode and Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley all week. I hope Robbie is avoiding the sunburn, keeping the sunscreen applied as he's on the beach. Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley, talking Titans, talking camp, value of camp takeaways, I guess, right? So I've come up with some things that I'm going to – there are a lot of narratives. There's another word that I try to avoid, and I kind of hate narratives. People say narratives too much. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of narratives about the Titans, and some that I'm going to buy, and some that I'm going to sell. So I've tried to come up with three each, and we'll see if we'll see what you think about these. Okay, so on the buy side, and I think like Kaharski may disagree. Okay, but the receiving core, just the receiving, is better than advertised / feared. I feel good about saying this right now. We have not seen the Titans play a game. We have not seen the Titans have a joint practice. We've seen them, we've seen the Titans go against the Titans. But here's the thing. The Titans do have good corners. There are good matchups out there. Ones versus ones is good. There's some good twos versus twos action too, by the way. So the thing about the Titans offense is they do get a really good look every day, right? From some of these players in the Titans defense who have been out there every day. And I didn't think Robert Woods would necessarily be this healthy. I didn't think I didn't know what to think about Treylon Burks and his participation. So that alone, that fear, I guess it kind of makes it obvious, right? Because he's been out there every day. We've talked about he's slowed down a little bit, but Phillips has been good. I mean, Raisin McMath is better. He is a better player. I don't know what it's going to mean on the field this year, but I think he's going to make the team, and I think he could be useful here and there. So there's one thing that I feel good about saying.
I feel like Raisin McMath would be that player if the Titans were on Hard Knocks, because every year they find one or two unheralded guys and they really focus in on them and their lives and their pursuit of making the team or being more of an impact player. And I feel like Raisin McMath, just based on how you've discussed him so far in camp, would be that guy that Hard Knocks would hone in on as the plucky underdog trying to make the team or trying to have a better, have a better role on the team.
Yes. So hopefully they would make that choice as opposed to Mason Kinsey. I don't know, but yes, you may be right. Another buy. I'm buying that the tight ends are better. Now, again, this may be obvious because we know what the group was last year. They didn't invest enough. Ferkser got hurt. He wasn't all that effective. You bring in Austin Hooper, you're better. I mean, even if he's Cleveland Austin Hooper as opposed to Atlanta Austin Hooper, you're better. But he's looked really good. He has good chemistry with Tannehill. I like Chigakonkwo. I'm still not sure what that's going to translate into on the field, but I do feel like the Titans are going to find some things for him this year. And I think long-term, Chigakonkwo, in fact, he should have been on that list earlier of young players who have real upside. He has real upside. Upside. Upside, Vingan. Upside.
Upside. There you go. Upside. To your point, the bar to clear for a better tight end group is relatively low. So the fact that Austin Hooper, I would describe as a competent pass catching tight end, is a step up from Anthony Ferkser, who, like half of the Falcons roster, is now a member of the Atlanta Falcons, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they keep just – who'd they just
sign? Pruitt, I believe.
Michael, come on in. I love it. Yeah, so real quick, I got a couple. People are all over this. Dennis, who earlier sent me an awesome Magic Johnson Converse pick when I was railing on Jordans. Thank you, Dennis. Can always count on you. On the text line, driven by WellSkyHunter.com, and also Dave, that's the same question, basically. Ask him about Josh Malone. And when we talk about receivers, Dennis says, seemed a couple weeks ago Malone was talked about a lot. Lately, I've heard more about Godwin and Robertson. Did Malone just fall off? You know what? Malone, I don't think Malone hasn't struggled, and he has made plays. He has consistently made plays. I just, when I look at Raisin McMath's trajectory, and I think Des Fitzpatrick's been a little bit better too, and I, in the spring, I wouldn't have said that. Godwin, that is interesting. Godwin has made some plays, and Robertson continues to be there. I think Robertson alone and Godwin, I don't think any of them are going to make this football team. And I did think Malone was going to coming into camp. But those are guys who, this is where the preseason games can have some value. The coaches are still looking for these guys to go out there and execute and make plays. And look, I think we saw Khalif Raymond in Philly a few years ago really help himself in a preseason game at Philadelphia, for example. So Like, there's still the potential for movement there. But it's not that he has struggled or anything. He's made plays. He hasn't really gotten a lot of opportunities with the top group. And with some of the other guys, the way they've played, he's just kind of, to me, in my view, been pushed down a little bit. The third thing, real quick, that I'm buying is that the offensive line is a big concern. It's the biggest concern. It was to me going in, for sure. It still is. I said, progress from Raidens. Petit Frere, you like what he brings. I like what Brewer brings, too. You know, and I think that there's also valid concern about his size. There's been some good things, and they've gone against, again, good people with limitations on what they're doing. But I think that's absolutely still the clear concern about this football team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. No okay. qualms there.
Selling. I'm selling the Tannehill's a different guy. He's not a different guy. He's playing well, and that's fine. You want to play well. You want to practice well. He's thrown a couple picks. He hasn't been perfect. Last camp, he threw like 5 picks. He, day in, day out, threw the ball well. He leads the football team. He's good. He's going to be good in the regular season. And we'll see. But how good he'll be in the regular season, I think still depends a lot on what's happening in front of him. Another one I'm selling right now because I'm hurt a little bit of this is Hassan Haskins is going to take some Derrick Henry carries. It's possible. And he has looked good. I will be interested to see how much work he gets Thursday. But I still think right now it could just end up being he's insurance. You know, he's insurance, and I think that they should try to carve out a little bit of a role for him. Take a little load off Derrick Henry early in some games. Have Derrick Henry ready to be the hammer in the fourth quarter. I'm just not sure that's going to happen. And I haven't seen anything. Haskins looks good. I haven't seen anything where it's like, oh, you've got to get that guy the ball. You know, he's a good player. But I think right now he's insurance / backup. And then the third thing that I think a lot of people have talked about this is Theo Jackson is in line to get the quote-unquote Dane Cruikshank role. Of course, people remember a lot of times last year, especially it started in the Kansas City game against Travis Kelce, you know, third downs, press coverage, man coverage, physical coverage against tight ends, and Cruikshank had some very loud moments doing that. First of all, you know, that doesn't the Titans don't necessarily have like a position for that, right? Like this person is going to do this all the time. At times you want a man up on a tight end, you want a safety to be able to do that, but I don't know if Theo Jackson is going to carve out like a role on the field. I like his chances of making the team. You know, AJ Moore right now I would say is definitely the third safety. I think it's kind of simplifying things a little bit to think of that in terms of a role for one person. You're going to be in different coverages, and it could be different people doing that. And there may not be an obvious person in that role. But Cruikshank carved out. I mean, that was really the best football he's played for the Titans, and of course now they have moved on from him. But those are three things that I've heard talked a lot about, and I don't think necessarily, you know, resonate in the real world right now.
How do you feel about Hassan Haskins as compared to the role that Deontay Foreman played for this team last year?
Yeah, well, see, but I mean, Deontay Foreman's only on the team because Derrick Henry got hurt, right? So he was the Derrick Henry role, and I thought Deontay Foreman was really good. Obviously, I thought he fit really well. I was surprised. I thought the Titans might try to pay him and keep him to be the backup, but they decided to go younger, and I like the pick. Again, I think it's been some good stuff from Haskins. So if Henry gets hurt this year, could he come in and do similar things? Possibly. Another thing to consider is just look, Roger Saffold as a run blocker. It's a big loss, and you just can't dismiss that, you know, out of hand. And so I think you have to always keep that in mind with this run game. I expect it to be good because Derrick Henry's running the ball. But are they going to be to the point – are they going to be like last year where if Derrick Henry's out, you just plug in anybody and you're going to be fine? I don't know about that. I think Saffold helped make that more possible. So So those are some things. Megan on the text lines, driven by WilsonCountyIowa.com, says, I'm so relieved Pruitt has been signed somewhere. Hated how his season ended. Glad Atlanta took him. Yeah, no doubt. I think that was the Miami game, right? That was awful. Guy who's battled through a lot. He's really a heck of a story. And he was a good player for the Titans last year. In a limited tight end room, he was a good player. All right, when we come back, it is time for the weekly exciting segment. This time, questions by me. The choice is yours. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It is that time. Choice is yours. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And The Game Nashville app. Joe Rex Road here with Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley. And I got the questions, folks. So now I ask you, sports or non-sports?
I will go with non-sports. I think Michelle is dealing with something else at the moment.
Technical things. Yep. Adam's the guest, so he gets to choose.
Non-sports.
Okay. Are you with us? Are we good?
Are we on the air?
Okay. We're going to go non-sports, you say?
Yes.
We will start non-sports. Okay. I asked this because I've been making a lot of salads lately.
Okay.
And trying different proteins in them. I'm pretty excited about this salmon salad with pumpernickel croutons I'm about to make tonight. I'm just saying. But if you could only eat one salad for the rest of life, and I'm not talking like, you know, like it's like pasta salad with bacon in it, like salad, like lettuce as the base, what is that salad?
Are we talking protein too?
Yeah, whatever you want. I mean, it can be, but it just has to be an actual salad.
Chicken Caesar salad.
Ooh.
I mean, how can you argue?
Can't argue with
God,
that.
I might change my answer, actually. The Caesar salad with
chicken.
With anchovies. Oh, dude. Actual anchovies in it. A good Caesar salad.
I also like a good Mexican Caesar.
Hmm, what's that?
Chopped, which has Chopped, which is a salad place, a salad chain. They have a Mexican Caesar that has jalapenos in it and has some.
But Caesar dressing.
It's a Mexican Caesar dressing, so it's a little zesty, a little spicy.
Like a spicy ranch. Wow, that sounds fascinating.
Yes, but chicken Caesar salad, generally speaking, would be my answer.
Listen, make your chicken Caesar elite. Grill a lemon so it's a little charred and squeeze the lemon on it. Fabulous.
I like that.
Okay, but I'm going to go with a personal salad I made up, and it is dinner a lot of the times of the week. So you're going to take spinach, and then you're going to get one of those little salad dressing toppings that's walnuts and cranberries.
Oh, yeah.
And throw that on there. You're going to throw a little feta cheese on there. If you like red onion, you're going to dice up a little red onion, throw it on there. Throw some strawberries on there and put your salmon in the air fryer with a little balsamic dressing. Chef's kiss.
That's very close to my number two. And by the way, a wedge.
I was going to say a wedge would be
bacon
probably second on my
list. Blue cheese too much,
list.
Though.
Too much of blue cheese? Oh, man. I'm big on that. But so we have a summer salad, okay, that is the red onions you mentioned, strawberries, as you mentioned, feta, as you mentioned. Two key differences. One, it has pine nuts, which is really good. And then the dressing has to be poppy seed.
Okay. Yep.
It's similar to what you're talking about, but we do that one a lot. But, I mean, if I have to go with something – and there are several establishments in Michigan that the dressing is – I'm going to shout out to Lou and Harry's in East Lansing, but a Greek salad with the gyro meat, like a really good Greek salad with like really good olives.
That's a good choice.
Olives. And then like gyro meat on – oh, man, all day. If I have to do something the rest of my life, that's it.
All right. By the way, overrated salad, Cobb salad. Very overrated.
No. I mean, I've had some that are great. I mean, anything that has bacon, I got to give
Cobb,
it a chance.
Not a Cobb salad guy
over here. Interesting. Did not know you were an anti-Cobbite. All right. sports. Dan Campbell on Hard Knocks. I didn't see it. We were at a concert, but apparently closed with D's Nuts. And also, at one point said, It doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass, end quote. That's Dan Campbell, apparently from Hard Knocks.
What in the world
are you talking about? I have a feeling this could be actually a good Hard Knocks. It sounds like we have potential. With that in mind, your ultimate coach, any sport all time, who you would love to see in the Hard Knocks kind of setting?
Any sport.
And if you just say
Michelle, coach, do you have one that comes to mind?
Honestly, the first one who comes to mind is, because Joe has told us so many things behind the scenes, is Tom Izzo.
I haven't told you too much now. Easy.
Well, don't worry. Izzo's not listening. He's on vacation.
Well, he is a consultant to the show.
Well, some of the stories on air and off air that we've heard, I just feel like I would love to, you know, see that. And I feel like he's pretty witty from when we had him on our show and I talked to him for a brief second before we put him on the air. I feel like he'd be, and he's not traditionally a coach I would like pick or be interested in, but only because I've heard kind of your perspective, Joe. So I think Izzo, I would like to say.
Yeah, no, he's definitely one of my runners up. It would be entertaining if you got the full deal, right? Do you have an answer? I can go vinging if you're not.
Go ahead. I'm still thinking.
So he would be on my. I'm also thinking of Pat Summitt. Now again, So Izzo has done some like behind the scenes stuff, but I'm talking about like, let's have the real talk now. Yes, it would be very entertaining. Pat Summitt, they did a behind the scenes with her, one of her championship teams, but that would be fascinating. And Vrabel is always there. Yeah, you know, I think Hard Knocks comes here, and it's probably coming soon because they're one of the like two or three teams that haven't had it. I think as long as you get Vrabel like you got him in Houston, it'd be good. But my answer is Vince Lombardi. I mean, just to be able to see exactly what that was like and how he, because you know all the stories and the phrases and the sayings and all that stuff, but to actually see Vince Lombardi in action, to me, just is just too fascinating to pass up.
I was thinking Bruce Pearl. That was my first thought.
Ooh.
But then my second one.
Just don't go on the recruiting trail with him.
The one I think I would go with is Greg Popovich. Just because we know his gruff demeanor in news conference settings and on sideline interviews. But there have been so many stories about how wonderful of a human being he is behind the scenes. You know, I would like to actually see that with my own eyes. And just, you know, he's a fabulous coach. And, you know, I think he is someone who I would like to see a little bit in unguarded situations. So I would go with Greg Popovich on this one.
I like that one. I like that answer. All right, non-sports. Going to see To Kill a Mockingbird tonight at TPAC with my daughter. Very excited about it. I think an 11-year-old will be cool. It'll be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
should be.
You know, you get to the youngest kid and basically it's like, oh, R-rated movie? Sure, do whatever you want. But anyway, with that in mind, the piece of classic literature you had to read in school, and we all had to read plenty, that stuck with you the most, that really made, like Michelle, come on, that really made an impact on you. Anything come immediately to mind?
Oh, I do. I've got one. Also, okay. Side note, Kim Mulkey, honorable mention for the last question you had about Hard Knocks.
I'd like to see her retire, but yes. Yes, it would be fascinating.
But to the piece of literature of Mice and Men, right? And that was, I think that was ninth grade I read that. It was so long ago, I forget. But Lenny and I can't think of the other guy's name, but I remember it was like two friends and the one guy was like, I could be totally getting the story wrong, but I think the one friend was maybe a little bit slower, and then they were like good friends, and he took them under his wing and stuff. Please somebody correct me if I'm messing up this storyline, but...
Yeah, Lenny, yeah.
Yeah, so, yep, that's
George
fine.
And Lenny.
George, yeah. And Lenny, yes.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah, that
Steinbeck,
one sticks with me.
Classic. Vingen?
Lord of the Flies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I think
that's
a lot
a
of people
one.
Would have that answer probably.
There, you know, I'm trying to think of what I read in high school. The Great Gatsby, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Lord of the Flies. To Kill a Mockingbird, as you said. I'm trying to think of what else I would
it's
have read.
It's hard to remember.
The Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, that one, I mean, frankly, like, bored me a little bit, some of them. That's the thing. I mean, some of these, you have to read them, and they're long. And so at that time in your life, you know, it doesn't have the impact that it should have. My answer is Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. Incredible book, 50s, totally opened my eyes as a young person to race and racism in America. And if you haven't read that, please read that book. It's I know like a lot of people didn't read that, which I think is a shame, and everybody should read it. All right, real quick. Sports, more likely to be with the Titans in 2024. We did the 2023 projection. 2024, which would require a new contract for either one of them. Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry?
Henry.
Derrick Henry. Ooh, jinx. You owe me an iced coffee, Vingan.
Don't spill it on your pants.
I'm going Tannehill.
What?
I'm going Tannehill. And it's tough. And I know that most people would be like, shut your mouth, okay? But it's just I'm basing that basically on age of career at position that one of them's at and what the other one is at. And I just have questions about Derrick Henry after two more years being able to continue to be a guy who carries the mail. I'd love to see him prove that wrong. I think he's going to be good this year, very possibly the next year. But, you know, Tannehill – the thing about Tannehill is I know everybody wants him out of here, and that may happen. This is a crossroads year. But if he does perform this year and kind of stabilizes that, you can do a lot worse than Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. I'm sorry, but you can. So that's just my guess of those two. Very difficult. And that is the choice is yours.
Thanks, nice job, everybody. Rexrod.
Yes, nice job to you two. When we come back, we're going to have Cam Wolf, NFL Network, talk some NFL on Robbie and Rexrod, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.